You guys are blessed with children. It's going to be good to see the next generation and what they do with what you learned and how you pass it along. So all those people who had birthdays in November, we gave you an extra hour. So enjoy it, okay? As a gift from us to you. So it's a joy to be here, and thank you very much for what Beans Corner is doing. You may not know what all it's doing, but it's reaching and changing people's lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you are critical. I want to thank the worship team. I don't know how many hours it takes to put on a worship, to lead, play piano, practice. But you know, they put a lot of time in. And I think we need to give them a hand and say thank you very much. What they say about worship teams is they water the soil for the planting of the seed. All right? And there's a guy in the room here who never gets noticed unless things go bad. And that's your sound person. So... And they're phenomenal. It's a lot of effort to come together, make sure everything's done. And, you know, who cleans the building? Do you clean it or does somebody else? Okay. And it's a challenge to keep a building clean and everything. So we appreciate it. Well, I'm not one for behind the pulpit. And so you'll have to tolerate that. I'll try to break the word open to you today. Let's go to the word in prayer. Father, thank you for this time. We just ask right now as we open the word that you open our hearts. We'll see something new and different, knowing that you are our Lord. Just like the moms and dads look after their children, and you look after yours. We thank you for that privilege of being your child. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, I have a split rail fence at my house. You know what a split rail fence is? You can see above and around. So when I blow leaves, I just blow it underneath there. Well, after 10 years... those railings are kind of rotting. I could buy new ones. I thought, well, I'll just take them down. So I took them down, and it was amazing at the possibilities. After those little thin rails were there, the possibilities about what we could do on the other side of the fence. You ever notice how words or things sit in your way and you kind of go, wow. And then they're gone and it opens all kinds of possibilities? It's pretty simple. I had not thought about all the possibilities without that rail. And so I'm looking at what we can do on the other side of the fence. Many times we put God and we put a fence between us and him. You know? And as we look at the scriptures this morning, I want you to think through this with me. God did everything he could do to take away that fence. Do you understand what I mean? So as we start open, we look in Romans chapter 12 today. I want you to think... as we look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I want you to think, as we look at this, how God has taken away the fence. Have you ever thought about it this way? It says, therefore, anytime when you're in Scripture, and the New Model, New Translations doesn't have therefore, but a lot of times when you have a therefore, you need to ask, why is it therefore? All right? So what Paul has been doing for the verse, for chapters 1 through chapter 11, is telling the people in his day and our day what God has done for them. In Romans, it says that you and I were enemies of God. Have you ever thought of yourself as an enemy of God? Well, I used to be a youth minister, and I would take people to Glorieta, New Mexico, and I'm from New Mexico, and so I would take them, and we'd take a whole week. And so I'd pick a small book, and I would ask them to read it twice a day, once in the morning and once in the evening. And then we would come together and we would talk about what God has taught them through the book of Colossians or Galatians or some small book. This one night we were sitting there, and this kid's name's Curtis. And he said, "You know, Keith, I didn't realize that I have been an enemy of God." "Oh, wow. Tell me more about that." "So before I came to know Christ, I didn't realize that the Bible had called me an enemy, that I was an enemy of God. But when I came to know Christ, I became his son." When you and I come to know Christ, there is a barrier between you and us, between God and us. And God says, "You know, I love you so much, while you're yet sinners, I'm going to remove that barrier. And I'm going to remove it by taking and asking my son to die on the cross for you." What's the proof that Jesus was the Son of God? What is the proof? This is very important. What would happen if Jesus never came out of the grave? He was a good teacher. The proof that he was the Son of God is that he was resurrected. And he was resurrected, and he sits at the right hand of God right now, and he sent his Holy Spirit to come and indwell us and guide us and counsel us. And so when Paul is writing this letter to the Romans, he's saying, "Therefore, remember," and then he urges those people and us today to follow. Now, let's talk about urging. Old translation says, "beseech you." Sharon, I beseech you to be quiet. I know. We're buds. But would, yeah. And you know what it means to beseech or to, I don't think I would say the word nag. Now, let's don't go nagging. But I would like, you know, or urge. Have you ever urged your husband to do something? Or urged your wife to do something? Urged your kids to do something? We urge you, please. It's important to us. Paul is urging us, and the reason he's urging us is because we have a choice to make. Do we not? When you urge someone, don't you have a choice to make? We really want them to make the right choice. So we have this urgent here. What kind of things does Paul want the Christians in that day and today to do? Based on the fact that they are new creatures in Christ, he's urging them to view God's mercy and offer your body as a sacrifice. Now then, let's think for a moment. When I say sacrifice, what's the immediate thing comes to your mind? This is going to hurt. Right? When you think about sacrifice, you're going to say, "I don't want to sacrifice. This is going to be hurtful." Because in their day, when they sacrificed something, they took a live animal, they killed it, placed it on the altar, and it was burned up. And there's a real fear that if I'm supposed to be a sacrifice, it may be something that I may not want to do. So let me ask you a question. Parents, have you ever sacrificed for your kids? Was that a painful thing to do? A little. But it was something that you wanted to do because you wanted to advance what they needed. Husbands, have you ever sacrificed for your wife? Wives, have you sacrificed for your wife, your husband? You know, when a newborn comes into your home, you sacrifice a lot of sleep, don't you? And you give it willingly, aren't you? Because you love that person. See, that's what God did for us. It says great mercies are the mercies of God. He wants you to know the mercies that he has given for that you can have a relationship with him. While we were yet sinners, we worked our way into heaven, and I got there because of my own efforts, right? No. We were enemies of God in our minds. And because of his gift of his son dying on the cross, he's willingly given it to us by us accepting it. He is showing us mercy. So what he's telling the Romans right now, he's saying to them, you have been given mercy. You know, I kind of look at your kids. They don't understand that you sacrifice for them, do they? How many of you... That's why the note, Mom, Dad, thank you for sacrificing. Thank you for loving me. Thank you. But do you ever think they're going to write you a note? No. You know when they'll start appreciating you? When they're about 21, 22, 23. You know, Mom, Dad, how did you do it? So you know what it's like to sacrifice without getting anything back. Did we get the mercies that he's been given? It says that we are to be a living sacrifice. Well, we talked about sacrifice, but what does living mean? Living is taking what you have been given and sharing it. Did your parents in here sacrifice for you? Weren't you grateful? And then in turn, aren't you sacrificing for yours? And you're modeling your parents' sacrificial love for you as you are taking care of their kids, their grandchildren. Well, your Father in heaven gave his son as a sacrifice for us so that we can be a living sacrifice for him. Where do we do that? We just do it here on Sunday morning, right? Nah. Where do you do the living sacrifice? Any of you have a job? Yes. Do you find yourself having to be loving when you don't want to be? Being a listener when you don't want to listen? Holding your tongue when you don't want to hold your tongue? When you know that there's things that you need to do, sometimes you have to be a living sacrifice for that. Where does that happen? I was pastoring a Filipino church, and we're having a Bible study for men, and we're going through Proverbs, and we ran across Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. You know what that is, right? This is a very important lesson. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 says, a quiet answer turns away wrath. Have you ever had an argument with your loved one? And you can go, a quiet answer turns away the wrath. Well, sweetheart, you may be right. It diffuses the argument. So I get home, and I get, this is before they had texting and all this stuff, or I didn't have texting at that time. And so Roman writes me a quick email and says, Keith, this stuff works. Because they were having difficulty, and because of what the scriptures have said, they gave a quiet answer. Try that. Another one that I've learned is that a man, a transformation guy or woman, this is sometimes in my head, I have to say, okay, do I want to be a fool or do I want to be a wise person? The scriptures, Proverbs says, if you want to be a fool, you vent your full anger. Whose choice is that? My choice, right? So some days with my wife, I want to be a fool. Guess what? I know I'm going to be a fool. Does that make it right? No, but I know that there's going to be a cost for being a fool. So I kind of think through it. Do I want to be a fool or do I want to be a wise person? So I do a gentle answer. A living sacrifice. Not for that battle, for that moment, for a lifetime of marriage. Think about it. Is a small battle worth a lifetime? Another Proverbs that I learned is that it's better to overlook an offense than to take it in. Now, what am I talking about? The sacrifice of controlling myself to kind of see the better person in that person. Am I going to take it personally? But we're called to be a living sacrifice. And I'm trying to give you examples of what it looks like to live a life of sacrificial. Letting some of the stuff come off your back. Not doing what the world says you're to do. Does this make sense? And when does it do this? When you understand the mercies that you have been given, not for yourself, but to be a testimony to people out there. We've been in our house 15 years, I think. I don't know, 10 or 15. Not only is the rail fencing rotting, but one morning, 2 months ago, my wife calls down the stairs and says, she didn't text me. I told her the first time she texted me, she'll prove it. And she didn't text me, but she says, we're out of water. Okay, I grew up in the city. Somebody didn't pay the water bill. But we have a well. Either the well went dry or the sub pump is not pumping. Well, I'm thinking, okay, it's not our well. And I'm thinking, my stars, this is going to cost a leg and an arm. So we call the guy who installed it. Now I'm from out west where we have fixed pipe. And when you have a fixed pipe and you have a windmill go dry, you have to pull that stuff up. Well, to my amazement, this guy backs his truck up, takes a well out, rolls up the thing on a wheel, pulls the thing up, fixes it, and within an hour we have water. So I'm saying, okay, why did this guy come to my house? And why do we run out of water at this time? And so I ask him some questions. You go to church? Well, this is the first time I ever heard this term. C&E. He's a C&E guy. I go, what is C&E? Christmas and Easter. And I said, that's all you do? He goes, yeah. I said, why is that? He says, well, this is critical. He's my brother is an elder at a church. And he cusses like a sailor. I've threatened to videotape him and then show it to his pastor. I said, do it. Because people are walking around us. Our family members are walking around us. And they're saying there has to be a difference about us. We have to be a living sacrifice. Not like the world, but different. I'll never forget. I used to have a really nasty mouth. Okay? Saved at 26. I was working in the gas and oil business. My uncle owned a wholesale business, so we delivered oil and diesel and gas to overhead farms out west. So at 7:30 in the morning, I was filling my tank full of water, full of diesel, and I didn't have time, a really tight schedule, and I spilled diesel on my pants. I know that I'm going to have to smell that diesel all day long. I didn't have an extra change. I didn't have time to go home. Just like, just threw it out there. My friend was on the other side of the truck. He came up, crossed over the dock, sat down, and looked at me eye to eye, Sharon. He says, what's the difference between you and me? I had no answer. He says, I cuss, you cuss. How's your life different? I quit cussing. But 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, you and I are new creatures. We're different. Does this make sense to you? And notice what it says here, that there'll be a living sacrifice. Holy. What does holy mean? Do you see yourself as holy? Yeah. Holy means you've been set apart. You're different. You're a new creature. We've got a set of holy dishes at our house. I only see them at Christmas time. They're holy. You don't put them in dishwashers. I've learned that lesson. These are special dishes. They're handed down from generation to generation. They are holy. I don't touch them. My wife sets the table, and she takes them off. I don't touch them because we have chipped dishes at our house. I'm not allowed to touch them. They're holy. God has set you apart to be holy. How many of you feel like you're a saint? Not many of us. It's not what we say about ourselves, it's what God says about us. And he says, you're my son, you're my daughter, you need to live differently. You need to be a living sacrifice so that the world will see a difference. Josh, why don't you cuss? Well, because I'm a follower of Christ. That'll start a conversation, wouldn't it? Because we are set apart. You are holy. Pleasing to God. Do you understand that you're pleasing to God? When your kids come up here and you see them answer questions, what does that do for your inside? That's my kid. When they have a Christmas thing, you're going to come in here and you're going to do the videos and that's my kid. What do you think happens in heaven? God said, that's my kid. That's my daughter. That's my son. They live in a world that is so messed up that when you walk out the door, they're trying to pull you from him. And he said, I'm not going to let that happen because nobody can take you out of my hand. And I'm going to put my Holy Spirit inside of you so that you'll be different. Holy. What's the buzz around Beans Corner Baptist Church in your community? You know what the buzz is? There's something happening at Beans Corner. Was that something you guys did? what God did. Selfishly, you've been given an opportunity to be different. Not only, oh, I love this part. This is your spiritual act of worship. Now, we had a great worship this morning. It kind of doesn't compare to the Congo church that was in Portland. The pastor looked down at me and said, did you wear your dancing shoes? Had no clue what that meant. But we had some dancers over here this morning and dancers now, and we this white boy doesn't dance. Don't have that much ability to dance. Don't play football either or basketball. But I had a great worship experience. And the people worshiped. But where do you worship when you do something different outside, when you're dealing with a customer or a neighbor? Thanksgiving's coming, right? Anybody dreading Thanksgiving? Oh, no. They're going to come over and they're going to talk about Jesus. I hope they don't come this year. Or my family's coming over. We don't want to go to their house because they talk about Jesus. Don't talk about Jesus. And they come to your house and they sit around at Thanksgiving. You don't pray because you've already prayed. And so they say, it's been an interesting time. Why didn't you talk about Jesus? Now they're asking the questions. I said, well, what do you want to know about him? You have them asking your questions. Tell me about Jesus. Well, what would you like to know? Play dumb. Ask questions. Let them say, well, you're different. Why are you different? Because I'm loving you. Because I was first loved. Wow. Does this make sense? And then he goes on. That's your act of worship. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. You walk out of here. Do you think the world wants you to follow Jesus? You walk out that door, they're going to find 15 different ways in which to pull you away from him, or 20 different ways. And they're going to be working at you 24/7. If it's not in your heart, if it's not in your life, that this whole idea that the mercies that he has shown us, you can go either way. As a youth minister, I said to my kids, our kids, I'd say, listen, when you go on a date, do it as a group. But if you go as a couple, you both make decisions that it won't go past this point. Don't try to make that decision in a hard moment, a passion. So in the mornings, I get up in the morning and I say, before I get out of bed, this is the day the Lord hath made. I've got this life. Lord, I'm a new creature in you. It's a ritual. I'm different. I have no idea what my day is going to look like. I don't know who's going to come to my house to fix something that I can't fix. Those are opportunities. The well guy. My porch was unlevel. So the guy came in and put in the coolest thing, techno metal post. Didn't know they existed. Well, I'm sitting there. I'm going, why is this kid here? He's 22. And I'm asking him, what's your walk like? Had no concept of God. I had a pest guy come to the house. And I said, hey, tell me, what's your church background? My parents didn't go to church. I'm not going to church. Well, that's pretty reasonable. You think you're missing something? Nope, I'm just here to kill your bugs. Okay. But see these opportunities around us all the time. Explore them. Why did God bring this guy into my house? This is what we're called to be, transformed, to be different, not to beat him over the head, but just say, hey, listen, I want to love you. I want to care for you. I just want you to understand that the mercies I have were given by a God who loves me, and I want to share those mercies with you. So be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? So how do you renew your mind? Can you, anybody tell me how you renew your mind? I brought two Bibles just in case. Okay? So renewing your mind. I spend a lot of time in Proverbs. Proverbs is my mirror. Okay? When it says, do you want to give your, you want to be a fool? I just say, well, it says, here, guard your lips, guard your life. But he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. Did I walk through this thing or did I speak rashly at someone? This is a note. Guess what I'm doing? I'm changing my mind. God works from the inside out. We have all tried to change our behavior on the outside, right? And I've got to dress up. And I got to go to D.C. And I've never bought a pair of $395 shoes in my life, but I had to buy them. I don't have $395. They said they reimbursed me. And I'm sitting there in a pair of $300 and then a suit, but I can dress the outside of the man, but inside I feel very inadequate. Does this make sense to you? You can put a lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. I may look like $1 million, but I'm still a sinner inside. I can put on a front. But what happens in my heart is where God works and he starts changing us from the inside. And one day somebody will come up to you and say, Sharon, you're different. I've noticed your life and it's changed. See, don't ever give me your first name, okay? Because you'll become an illustration, huh, Josh? Yeah, because that's who he is. And you'll not know that you've changed until somebody says, hey, you've changed. And who gets the credit for that? God. I had a really rough childhood, really at odds with my dad. My dad died of cirrhosis of the liver, which is because he loved to drink more than he loved the family. And I may have shared this with you, I don't know. So one day I'm sitting there and I'm God seems to talk to me in the shower. I don't know why. That's the weirdest thing. I'm in there showering and just focusing on the hot water, and God just kind of say, my dad was critical, was dying. And he said, what would you do if your dad was blind? How would you act differently? Truthfully, our friends and family who do not know Jesus are blind to the truth. Right? How are you going to treat them differently? And my whole attitude of my dad, because he would go around and go to his poker parties, drink, and brag on his preacher's son, which is just embarrassing. Does this make sense to you? I was embarrassed because I ministered in the same town he was in. And I said, Dad, don't do that. And after my encounter with you know, how would you treat him differently, I didn't realize I changed. But on the way back from the cemetery and driving and riding in the family car, my little sister looked at me and says, "I've never seen you kinder to Dad than the past 3 days." See, you can't do this. It's the Spirit of God that radically changes us. And if he'll change me, he'll change you. See, there's this fence that God has tore down, and he says, "I want to give you 3/4 of my son if you'll accept him." Is that right? 3/4? A half? I gave them all. But you know what that fence does? "God, we're afraid of you. I'll give you 1/3 of me. I'll give you 2/3. But I'm not giving you all." When you surrender, you give him all of you, he'll take you places like you've never been before. He'll put people in your life like you've never been before. And you'll see the transformation. If you're able to share Jesus Christ, you'll see people change from darkness to light. You were born at the, were you there at the, your son's or daughter's birth? And you saw that new life come in? That's great. But what would happen when a 26-year-old or 30-year-old or a 40-year-old says, "I want to accept Christ," and they're changed in the moment your eyes, and they're changed. Your job hasn't stopped. You now have to disciple them. I'll tell you about a story and we'll close. It's not really 1 o'clock, is it? All right. Neil Cole is a guy who wrote, he's written several books, and he has this encounter group of men, and there's like 4 of them or 5 of them, and they're open to all men. Okay? You can work with women as well. But anyway, he had this one guy who was not a believer, and he's in his encounter group. And here was the challenge. You have to consume a bunch of scripture in a week. So they had to read the book of John all week, finish it nearly every day, okay? And they got back together, and they were talking in this group and saying, "Okay, what'd you learn about Jesus?" The lost kid said, "He must be a nut. He's crazy." And Neil goes, "Okay, interesting. Read it again this next week." So this lost guy, he reads the book. Again, he comes in, he sits down, and he says, "Neil," and he says, what do you think now?" And he says, "Well, I think Jesus thinks he's God or something." "Really? Okay. I'll tell you what, let's read it again this week and see what you think next week." So they're reading the book of John all week long. He comes back and says, "You know, I think he could be the savior of the world." Who's teaching him? The Holy Spirit. Hello? And somebody said, "Well, let's read it again." Over the 5th time through, he comes to this group and he says, "I've asked Jesus into my life. He is my Savior." See, it's not what you don't know. It's what you do know. To get them in the scripture and let the scripture change them. So we're so afraid, well, he may ask me a question, I don't know. Do like I do. Let's look in the scriptures and see to find it. You look first. And let him be looking, and then I'm going home and I'm going to look myself. Okay? I'm not the answer man. I'm helping them learn themselves. So we put a barrier up between God and us because he may ask us to do something we're not capable of doing. I will promise you this. He will tell you. You're going to do something you've never done before. Get ready. But I'm scared. Aren't we all? You represent the living God. You're holy. A living sacrifice. Go sacrifice yourself with the people that you love the most. Love them unconditionally. He loves us unconditionally, right? You got it all. Question is, how much are you going to give of yourself to him? Are you going to keep the fence, whether it's split rail or not? Are you going to keep him at arm's length? Are you going to drop your arms and, God, I am totally scared of you. You're holy. And when I see you, my sins just, but I love you. Would you be willing to do that? He will take you and help. You'll be the one, you'll be that pencil who doesn't do much, but will transform people's life because you're in the hand of the Master. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this body of believers. I have no idea what you're doing in their lives right now. You do. You've taken a crooked stick and used to preach a sermon. My prayer is take this crooked stick and get straight. What are you going to do with the other people in this building? We're so concentrated on how we are imperfect. But yet at the same time, we are told we are holy, deeply loved by God. We can rest in that. Can we trust you with our life? That's a decision each one of us has to make. Do we want half of you? Do we want you all? There's probably areas in our life that we're holding on to and saying, that's my area, I don't want you in there. We have a sign that says, keep out. God says, if you open that door, I will transform you. Transform us, Father, to be a living sacrifice by the mercies of Christ, holy, so we'll be your sons and daughters completely. For it's in Christ's name we pray.